Welcome back. It's a Tuesday, the 4th day of October, 2022. I'm your host, Mark Hall, and a busy Tuesday it is. We've got a whole bunch of news today, kind of a combination of things that range from the World War III, an economic worldwide meltdown, all still in progress, to the outright whimsical. Well, let's start to try to make some sense of it in a world where that is highly discouraged by, well, doing the old-fashioned thing and following the money. Would you believe that charter rates for global liquefied natural gas, or LNG, carriers are now soaring, almost out of sight, due to a shortage of vessels? Oh, yeah, and a shortage of pipelines. They seem to have a tendency to blow up lately. Right, Joe?
There will be no longer a Nord Stream 2. We will bring an end to it. I promise you we'll be able to do it.
LNG shipping rates, says Tyler Durden of Zero Hedge, have been dramatically impacted by the sabotage, destruction, act of war, call it what you want, resulting in a supply chain disruption of the Nord Stream 1 and 2 pipelines, which in turn resulted in the anticipated and planned energy supply chain disruption. And let's go to Bloomberg for their propaganda spin. They say Europe is, quote, to replace Russian pipeline flows, at least a little bit of it, with LNG from suppliers, including in, where else, the U.S. and Nigeria. Hey, do you think Nigeria has the underwater demolition drones to do that? And rejiggering supply chains, says Zero Hedge, for the energy-stricken continent means increasing demand for LNG carriers to source gas from ever further away, and at ever higher prices, too. Isn't that amazing? Shell just recently booked an LNG carrier for $400,000 per day. Likely, they say, the most expensive ever for the Atlantic Basin. And would you believe there are continued mounting concerns that the limited availability of LNG vessels could cause further cargo disruptions? Who could have thought it? Answer, those that blew up the pipeline, I'm sure. You might even call it a tremendous opportunity, right? We'll follow that up with another story that was arguably inevitable. Vladimir Putin has come right out and said what everybody in the world who is paying attention knows. As J.D. Hayes writes for Natural News, Putin has made it crystal clear that he blames the United States, arguably correctly, for sabotaging the Nord Stream 1 and 2 natural gas pipelines last week after the videos surfaced. Well, they didn't have to surface very far. Of scumbags like Joe Biden and other U.S. officials, Victoria Nuland comes to mind, threatening to take them out anyway. After Russia took the bait and invaded Ukraine. Putin made his remarks late last week, they say, in the wake of the unprecedented attack on yet another vital infrastructure for the world, which could, say critics, hasten the, I'm going to put it this way, folks, escalation, not arrival, of World War III. Said Putin, they're destroying European energy infrastructure, and it's clear who benefits. It's obvious to everyone who did it. The Russian president also addressed the upcoming really nasty-looking winter, shaping up to be especially brutal for Europeans after the latest attack on what's left of their infrastructure. They print money, he said, but you cannot warm your homes with this printed money. They have to convince their citizens to shower less, eat less, and put on warm clothes, he said. The Western elites, it's a crisis due to their own fault, he noted, adding that the goal of what he called the hybrid war in Ukraine is to break Russia at any cost. And more, Putin's been coming out and saying what a lot of people who've ever read scripture seem to understand. Quote, the dictatorship of the Western elite is directed against all societies, including against the peoples of these Western countries themselves. It's a challenge for all. This means the total negation of the human, the overthrow of religion and traditional values, as the crushing of freedom becomes to look like the opposite of religion. Open Satanism, he said. Continuing his theme of rejecting the ridiculous attempts by the leftists in the West to impose their LGBTQZ++ gender ideology, which he appropriately deems a threat to Russian society. As one observer noted, I've watched a lot of Putin speeches over the last 10 to 15 years, and this is the most anti-US one by a really long ways. When it comes to Western dictators who are really pulling out the stops to destroy Western society, from the foundations on up, it's tough to beat the supreme fuhrer of the Communist Chinese Party-controlled left coast. You know who I'm talking about, and you know which state, I'm sure. So from LifeSite News, and also J.D. Hayes and Natural News as well, referring to the new death capital of the country, the People's Republic of Totalitarian California, It's Gruesome Newsom, Governor Gavin himself, who has now signed a total of 13 bills codifying and greatly expanding abortions and their war on anybody under the age of about, well, 104, but especially the younger the better. The bills will allocate, said LifeSite News, over $200 million in new abortion funding. They'll greenlight recruitment of abortionists to broaden availability, and no doubt following in the Chinese communist footsteps, eventually mandated, and ensure that almost no abortion will be prosecuted under what's left of the law, said LifeSite News, after Newsom practically strained his wrist, signing his name so many times over and over again. Hey folks, you know what? Suddenly I'm tempted to make a weird prediction. What do you bet that some leftist in California, probably right there in Hollywood, will announce within the next few weeks that since California hasn't been destroyed by the Almighty God in heaven in wrath, assuming at least the big one hadn't taken it out by then, after a series of slaps in his face like this, well, that proves he must not exist, at least to their satisfaction. The legislative package also includes a controversial bill that critics have warned could be interpreted as decriminalizing infanticide, i.e. the right to abort an unborn child right up to the moment of birth, and one way or another, maybe even thereafter. And they noted perhaps the most well-known abomination signed as part of Newsom's gruesome abortion package was what's called AB 223, dubbed the infanticide bill by critics, which could not only legalize infanticide by prohibiting the investigation or prosecution of any woman or abortionist for what are called pregnancy outcomes, including but not limited to abortion, miscarriage, or perinatal death, which might even include up to 2 years after the, not yet aborted baby was born. There are other abominations in Newsom's signature marathon. AB 2098 is now also what passes for law on the left coast, and it essentially penalizes physicians for mis- or disinformation when it comes to COVID-1984. What is misinformation? Well, telling people things that Big Brother doesn't want them to be allowed to hear. Why, you could almost say they own the science, but we'll come back to that. First, though, there really is still more. The terror signer added his signature to SB 107 last Thursday, setting up California not only as a sanctuary state for minors seeking medical and psychological assistance to cut off their breasts or genitalia or whatever else they might in the delusional quest to become something which they're not, i.e. the opposite sex, but now the state is claiming the right to take, quote, temporary emergency jurisdiction over minors, even if they're not in California, because, quote, the child has been unable to obtain gender-affirming health care or gender-affirming mental health care, unquote. And isn't it ironic to hear anything in California talking about mental health? I guess that'd be a bit like Joe Biden offering a memory enhancement class. Next, here's one you really ought to hear. As Paul Joseph Watson puts it, she just came out and admitted it. Yep, the UN not only public-private partners with Gulag so that we get you the propaganda you're allowed to hear, but we own the science, too. It's bought and paid for.
Well, she just came out and admitted it. A United Nations official told the World Economic Forum, yes, that's the Dr. Strangelove group, that the UN works directly with Google to rig the Google search engine to censor any and all skepticism or dissent against the climate change narrative. Don't believe me? This is UN Undersecretary for Global Communications, Melissa Ruth Fleming.
You know, we partnered with Google, for example. If you Google climate change, you will, at the top of your search, you will get all kinds of UN resources.
That means propaganda.
We started this partnership when we were shocked to see that when we Googled climate change, we were getting incredibly distorted information right at the top.
Translation? We were shocked that anyone was allowed to challenge our monopoly on information.
So we're becoming much more proactive. We own the science, and we think that the world, you know, should know it, and the platforms themselves also do.
Yep, we own the science. It's bought and paid for. The platforms know that. They're bought and paid for, too, and they're not going to let you say anything that's contrary to what we define as the science. And by the way, I see that terminology bugs Paul Joseph Watson, too. Here's how he put it.
Wait, what did she say?
We own the science.
You own the science?
We own the science.
What How can you own science? Science is supposed to be forever evolving based on new information. Is this what they told Galileo when he observed that the planets were round? No, they're not. We own the science.
We own the science.
Can you trademark science? By own the science, she actually means we've rigged reality and censored opposing views to impose a monopoly on truth. And what's the truth? Anything they say it is, because they own the science.
We own the science.
A science that's beyond doubt, beyond question, because they've stopped anyone from being able to question it. Trust the science, or else.
We're seeing the or else, folks, and a lot of people are going to freeze, and many that don't freeze will no doubt starve this winter as a result. On then next, as if we needed it, to yet another potential front in World War III, Japan, says a headline in the Daily Mail, for the first time in 5 years, has been panicked as Tokyo urged residents there to evacuate after an unidentified ballistic missile flew over the island early Tuesday. It's a hugely provocative move, says the Daily Mail, that ramps up simmering tensions not just all over the rest of the world, but in the Eastern Pacific now. Warning sirens sounded after the missile was launched at 7:20 a.m. Tuesday from the North Korean missile test site. Civilians were told to take cover. The rocket passed over the mainland and then continued 1,800 miles further off Japan's eastern coast before splashing down in the Pacific. It traveled a total path of just short of 3,000 miles, making it the longest-range North Korean missile test ever. But at least this time, no damage was caused, nobody was hurt. And all of this comes on the back of a series of quick-fire tests of North Korean missiles, now 5 of them in just 10 days, and it comes amid U.S. warnings the country is gearing up for yet another nuclear test, too. From there, let's talk lies for a few minutes, and there are plenty of those today. Coming from Zero Hedge and the economic front, shocking jolt, and that's spelled J-O-L-T, for job opening and labor turnover survey. Anyway, it's the biggest crash in job openings on record, outside, of course, of the pandemic and the global COVID lockdown. Last month, it begins, was a big surprise. For the month of July, the Bureau of Lying Statistics didn't get the memo. Instead, they said job openings unexpectedly surged to 2 for every unemployed worker, putting the kibosh on the Fed's plans to nuke the job market. Needless to say, says Zero Hedge, that made no sense. We warned at the time that this is not the first time the Department of Labor was forced to manipulate data. We caught them almost a decade ago doing the same thing. They later had to admit that was a huge mistake, and they said we expect the BLS will do the same thing this time around and completely revise both its jolts and labor market data. So fast forward to today when the Bureau of Lying Statistics did just what we expected. And in a release that was not merely a surprise, but a sheer jolting shock, reported that not only was the July surge revised sharply lower, but that in August the labor market cratered as job openings tumbled to just above 10 million from a downward revised July print of 11.1 million. That's a collapse of over 1.1 million so-called job openings and the biggest one-month crash outside of the global COVID-1984 pandemic lockdown, which was clearly an outlier. Albeit, your host adds, a satanically well-planned one. Here's another one. Oil prices are extending their recent gains following headlines from Vienna that OPEC is now considering a reduction in its production limit of as much as 2 million barrels per day. And I guess that means if people won't be able to get gas in Europe, they won't be able to get gasoline in a lot of other places. At least not at a price that they thought they could afford. And let's not forget, notes the story here, the Biden regime's political-based emptying of the Strategic Petroleum Reserve has left the United States with a record low now of just 22 days remaining supply. Ooh, and that's not enough to get them past the election. You can expect something big to probably happen on that front, your cynical host adds one more time. Here's some more lies revealed, courtesy of Greg Reese, Alexandra Bruce, and the Lou Rockwell site, among others. After Europe approved the COVID Zyklon B injection for kids, excessive deaths in children increased by, are you sitting down, 755%. And recent studies now prove that the COVID not vaccine is being transmitted to children, we've talked about that on this show, through the vaccinated mother's breast milk. A recent Harvard study goes further and shows that the COVID not vaccines are far more dangerous than the booga booga Fauci flu itself ever was, and the CDC has even quietly acknowledged all of this. But still, all of these facts, it notes, were explicitly labeled false and, yes, censored, you might remember, by the waste stream media and its official narrative. The awakening masses, says the piece, are now beginning at least to wake up to the fact that these experimental not vaccines are deadly and that we are, of course, again, being lied to. But still, we don't have a full picture of what these mysterious poisons are doing to our bodies. Microscopic research has shown that some of these so-called vaccines contain graphene oxide and what appears to be self-assembling nanotech. Morticians, as you probably are aware, because we've talked about it here many times, have found massive inorganic so-called clots that aren't really blood growing inside the vascular systems of people that were duped into taking the poison poke, and the FDA has been using transhumanist slogans to push the latest COVID booster shots. So it's not surprising, notes Greg Rees, that people are now questioning the vaccine when it comes to a strange new phenomenon being captured by security cameras around the world. Several videos show people suffering from the same strange attack. First, they act as if they see something over their shoulder, compelling them to turn their head around. As the head turns, the body follows, the arm lifts as if to point at what they're seeing, but then the body spirals into collapse and begins to spasm, turning their heads to see something and then spinning into collapse. The videos don't appear to be a hoax, he says, and if they're not a hoax, then what's the cause? And you probably know two things. Conspiracy theorists are going to be looking honestly for a cause, and the liars are going to be saying no matter what they find, it's not going to be allowed to be talked about. Still, though, concludes Greg Rees, this deadly poison is still being injected into the young bodies of innocent children. And that, folks, any way you slice it, is a crime. Next today, I'm going to do another story from a fellow that's become one of my favorites of late, James Howard Kunstler. This one's called Developing Developments, and I'll warn you up front, it begins in kind of a tacky fashion, but it's so funny and so relevant that I couldn't think of a way around beginning the way he did. There's a message, he notes, found in a fortune cookie from Panda Takeout, which reminds us of the following. The dildo of consequence is seldom lubricated. Please apply, he says, this ancient wisdom to, and he always puts this name in quotes, Joe Biden, or whoever's filling in for him today, Joe Biden's sabotage of the Nord Stream 1 and 2 natural gas pipelines. Secretary of State Anthony Blinken, we've talked about this here, spun the deed as a tremendous opportunity to reduce fuel use, whether they like it or not, in Euroland, and shift their prior dependence on affordable Russian energy to ruinously high-priced American LNG, or liquefied natural gas, supposed boon to U.S. producers. Lucky us, lucky them. And of course, that means gas that you might have had available here is going to be shipped overseas where it's a lot more pricey, and that means you're going to get to pay for that too. Let's get a few technical matters straight about this natural gas, he says right up front. Gas pipelines allow for cheap gas without costly intervening shipping procedures. Flows are continuous from producer to consumer. LNG requires compression of the gas, on the other hand, at super cold temperatures, and then costly to build LNG tanker ships that have to keep that LNG cold until it arrives where it was going and still compressed in transit. Each tanker can carry only so much LNG, and the flow, of course, is not continuous. And at each end of that energy-losing journey, there is a costly LNG terminal to load and unload the fuel. Bottom line, Euroland customers can't afford U.S. LNG, though for now, they'll be getting it good and hard and struggling throughout the first winter of a permanent depression that will feel more like the forecourt of a new dark age. Also, he says, bear in mind that the American shale gas is a finite resource. We need plenty of that ourselves, and that the earliest deployed U.S. shale gas fields are now crapping out. And, of course, given the Biden Fuhrer's hatred of actual energy supplies, they're not being replaced. Blinken, meanwhile, pretends that Europe's deadly predicament will segue crisply into a renewable Green New Deal disposition of things, as well as a stable and balanced new Cold War between U.S.-led NATO and Russia, just like it was in the glorious 1950s. Blinken is, of course, completely insane. Germany's industry will now collapse. The European currency, the euro, will now collapse along with it, and the exchange rate with the dollars Euroland needs to buy in order to purchase U.S. LNG will further bankrupt them. It'll probably also blow up the European Union, which is chiefly a trade scaffold anyway. And with industrial production sinking, trade sinks too, and the flimsy cooperative arrangements between nations turn into a desperate competition as each nation of Euroland struggles just to stay alive. And he does a particularly good summary in this next paragraph. Let's not forget, says Kunstler, the reason that Joe Biden blew up the Nord Stream pipelines to foreclose any chance of Germany wriggling out of U.S. sanctions against Russia, even at the cost of their own nation. Just prior to the Nord Stream spike, or strike, protests were rising in several German cities, the common folk already suffering under the Russian gas delivery shutdown and soaring prices of desperately needed gas. If the U.S. stood by while Germany made a separate peace with Russia, well, how would that affect the NATO country's commitment to the U.S.-provoked conflict between Ukraine and Russia? And gee, how much cash support would Euroland continue to dish out to Mr. Zelensky's crooked, sketchy money laundering and Biden-friendly operation? And what no government official can acknowledge, says Kunstler, even among the Euroland victim nations of this awesome stupidity, is that the U.S. demolition of the Nord Stream pipelines was an act of war against our own, alleged anyway, allies. By the way, the blogger who styles himself as Monkey Works, notable for tracking the worldwide military flight movements, presents a comprehensive play-by-play of just exactly how it was mission accomplished. You can read his full report here. He provides a link, but the summary goes like this. Overnight, on the 26th of September, a Navy P-8 Poseidon submarine hunter jet flew out of the U.S. to the Baltic. It didn't land in the U.K. to refuel, thus avoiding any tracking complications there, but instead rendezvoused over Grunziad, Poland, with a U.S. BART-12 mid-air refueling plane, to which it hooked up for more than an hour. The P-8 was equipped with Mark 54 air-launched torpedoes, and after undocking from the BART-12 refueler, the P-8 followed a route west along the Nord Stream pipelines, descended to bomb-run altitude, and then dropped its weapons. Kaboom. Then, fully refueled, the P-8 flew back directly to the U.S., where several days later, confronted at the U.N. by Russia with a yes or no question as to U.S. responsibility for the Nord Stream caper, U.S. representatives refused to answer one way or another. How cute. So, says J.H. Kunstler, there are certainly questions that loom. How many more days before Germany and the rest of Euroland begin to apprehend just how they've been hosed by America into the economic collapse scenario we're now seeing unfold? How many days, he adds, before a team of competent professionals hunt down Klaus Schwab and his colleagues somewhere in Switzerland, too? And your host has to add this, folks. How many days before Russia, or maybe even Germany, decides that blowing up a U.S. LNG terminal would be an appropriate proportional response? When will the Eurofolk turn on their own idiot government leaders, continues Kunstler, and flush them all out of office? Well, we're seeing it in Italy, folks. When will all of them, except for psychotic Poland, bail out of the USA's Ukraine crusade? I'll tell you this, this will all begin pretty darn soon, and if so, it'll be the end of the NATO alliance. Some of us would say, hey, good riddance to really nasty, evil stuff anyway. Meanwhile, the U.S.-led propaganda campaign has Russia utterly on the ropes against a raging and triumphant Ukraine army. Says Kunstler, nothing could be further from the truth. Russia made a few tactical retreats over the past month in preparation for a final, systematic, and methodical mopping up of the remaining Ukraine army. They're bringing Iskander hypersonic missiles, not necessarily nuclear-armed, and will assemble Russian army regulars to replace the mashup of Donbass militia volunteers who've borne the brunt of the assault on the thinly defended line leading to the much-talked-about tactical retreat around the Kharkov-Izium-Lyman front. The Russian negotiation table is now open for business, and failing to report to it, Ukraine will have to decide what sort of rump state it will become, a merely half-assed agricultural backwater or a fully ass-blown-off failed state. Meanwhile, he says, Western Europe descends into the cold and dark, and the USA isn't far behind. What's up next here in homie land? Try a trucking fuel crisis. Kerosene, as you know, a.k.a. diesel fuel, is becoming scarcer. There's none, for instance, in the Hudson Valley's Albany storage facility. The winter trucking fuel mix is 70% diesel and 30% kerosene, which is added to lighten the fuel and keep it flowing under freezing weather conditions. The shortage suggests a supply line collapse for just about everything, but especially food. Doesn't sound like it'll be too peachy of a Christmas, he says, because Joe Biden and company are destroying the USA on just about every level. Oh yeah, and don't forget, it's only 30 days to the midterms. And on that score, folks, remember, absolutely nothing has changed when it comes to those rigged vote-swapping electronic theft machines. So concludes J.H. Kunstler, let's just send a few billion more bucks to the sucking chest wound that is Ukraine, while we watch the America that we once knew follow right down into the abyss. And with that, unfortunately, we're out of time for today. So continue to pay attention, watch what's going on, be prepared for what you now know, without a doubt, is coming, and may Yahuwah bless you and yours.